Holy Family Radio, and the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference now present Catholic Legislative Talk with Al Ganoza.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Catholic Legislative Talk. I'm Al Ganoza. I'm the Communications Director of the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference. And once again, just to remind you, we are the legislative arm of the bishops across the state of Pennsylvania. And once again, that means we lobby for issues that are pertinent to the Catholic Church and the faithful of the Catholic Church. And I have to stress again, contrary to reports made by a certain family at, practically all of the bishops' listening sessions in the Harrisburg Diocese, we are not a multi-million dollar department, and we do not just concentrate on lobbying against the statute of limitations in the clergy sex abuse cases. We cover a wide range of issues, and we do not spend or make millions of dollars. So be rest assured there. One of the main issues that we are dealing with and supporting is the Down syndrome abortion bill. That we talked about this last week at a press conference Wednesday morning at the Capital Media Center. We were part of this, along with Representative Kate Klunk, Mike Terzai, the House Speaker. There was Kathy Rapp, I remember right, House Speaker there, Senator Scott Martin. We had some other legislators. Paul Schemmel was there, good friend of the PCC. We had a couple who were hanging out in the back of the audience. Sometimes Democrats don't want to be in the front of the pro-life effort because they figure it puts a target on their back for the for their votes. But they're there. They do vote pro-life issues. If you remember right, we did play some highlights of the conference, including a passionate speech from Senator Scott Martin out of Lancaster County. And Scott, he is a good friend of the PCC too, very staunch pro-life guy. And also included were Terzai and Representative Kate Klunk. I mentioned her. She will be sponsoring the bill known as HB 321. The HB, of course, standing for House Bill, and the 321 standing for, 321. Now, the bill is basically a redo of the version presented last year by the very same Mike Terzai that I spoke about. Well, there is still work being done, though, on the language of the bill. And as these bills generate from the beginning stages up to the introductory stages, they might change form a little bit, might have some language changed here and there, which might change the overall meaning. It might have to be redone. And then once the bill is introduced and it's on the floor, then people tack on amendments here and there and here and there. And once they tack on an amendment, if it's passed in the House and the Senate takes it up, Senate takes a tax on an amendment, has to go back to the House for them to consider. And they might tack another one on and so forth. And sometimes the bills just, well, they just never make it out of a chamber or a caucus and never make it to the governor's desk to be signed or to be vetoed. So once again, the House Bill 321 is a redo version of Mike Terzai from last year. Here's a story that ran last year about the passing of that bill in the House. And this was in The Hill. If you've heard of The Hill, pretty prestigious national publication. This ran on April 16th of last year, so this is almost a year ago. Okay, here's the story. Pennsylvania House on Monday passed a bill to ban abortions based on a Down syndrome diagnosis in the fetus. The GOP-backed bill passed with bipartisan support and a 139-56 vote. Wow. But it didn't make it out of the Senate. Bill now heads to the Senate for a vote, the article says. If it passes, it will face Democratic Governor Tom Wolf, who opposes the bill and would be expected to veto it. Wolf also vetoed a 20-week abortion ban in December. Ohio, the article says, passed a similar bill on Down syndrome abortions late last year, which GOP Governor John Kasich signed in December, making the state the third to have such a law. The Pennsylvania bill bans abortions based on a prenatal diagnosis of or belief that the unborn child has Down syndrome. Pennsylvania House Speaker Rep. Mike Terzai sponsored the bill, and another member of the House argued it is an effort to prevent eugenics, which, by the way, Iceland has taken pride in the fact that they pretty much eradicated Down syndrome through abortion. Opponents of the bill say it's the bill in Pennsylvania is an infringement on reproductive rights, of course, and that would effectively result in state-imposed pregnancy, of course. Pennsylvania state law currently allows for abortions for any reason except for gender of the fetus until 24 weeks. There are also bills afoot to reduce that to 20 weeks. I think Dawn Kiefer had been talking about that one. And there's another one that would, anytime there's a heartbeat present, that would prohibit doctors from having an abortion if a heartbeat is present. All right, so that's one of the issues we are facing. Another issue, which I'll get to in a roundabout way here. Okay, I don't know if you know or are paying attention or not, but the state basketball championships were held this past week slash weekend at the Giant Center in Hershey. I mentioned this is more of a look into Catholic life, and it was a good look, but it also has a bearing on the Catholic legislative issues. And once again, I will get to that in a second. All right, there are six classifications in basketball. I think six in football, too. But in basketball, six classifications, two genders. Who knows if that's going to change down the road. But so far, our championships only have two genders. Boys, for those of you new, boys and girls. So that means 12 championships. There were three Catholic schools that won championships. First of all, the final one to do so, Kennedy Catholic Boys, who have some very good players in that team going to some major colleges next year. They won the 6A title with a double overtime win over Penn Ridge out of the Philadelphia Archdiocese area. Kennedy Catholic's out of the Erie Diocese, I think. And Penn Ridge is a public school, but it is out of the Philadelphia Archdiocese area. Bethlehem Catholic Girls out of the Allentown Diocese won the 4A title, girls title, with a win over North Catholic, so two Catholic schools playing there. And the DeLone Catholic Girls shocked. They shocked Dunmore, who many had expected to win in the 3A championship game. Got a chance to watch that one. I didn't see the Bethlehem Catholic Girls game or the Kennedy Catholic game. Got a chance to go to the Giant Center and see a bunch of our Catholic schools play. Several other of them, those schools, made it to the finals and lost. Like North Catholic Girls, who I mentioned there. Vincentian Academy Boys, they lost the single A to a very good charter school out of Philly. Bonner Prendergast Boys lost to a charter school out of Philly. Lourdes Regional Girls, they lost in the finals. Bishop Guilfoyle Boys, yes, they also lost to a charter school out of Philly. Archbishop Wood Boys went down to defeat in the final. Archbishop Carroll Girls lost. And the Trinity Boys, they lost on Saturday afternoon. Now, you notice there, if you watch these finals, there were a lot of charter schools that did well. Back in the day, Philadelphia public schools would have, well, not too far back in the day because they weren't part of the PIAA till later. But a lot of the guys that played, and girls that played basketball for Philadelphia Public League schools now decide to go to charter schools. And there are a lot of charter schools, and parents like to send their kids to charter schools in an area like Philadelphia where they don't see the public schools as being safe or they don't give a good education. That's the way the parents see it. And these charter schools seem to get some good basketball players too. So you ask, what's the difference between a charter school and a Catholic school? And that's what I wonder, too. Well, charter schools are not allowed to have religion as part of their curriculum. And another big difference is that charter schools get a lot of taxpayer money. Catholic schools do not. And I was asking our education director, Sean McAleer, why the disparity. And he said, because that's just the way it is right now with the law, that Catholic schools are not entitled to the same share of public school money that charter schools are. Okay, now, remember I said that there was a legislative component to this whole issue of winning championships. Just think if all those Catholic schools had teams in all but, I think, three of the games. So if we'd won all of them, that would have been nine or ten champions. And that would have actually been bad. As much as I was there and I was rooting very hard for the schools, Catholic schools, to do well. In some ways, it's good that they didn't, because some of the legislators, in fact, one in particular, Conklin, and some of the superintendents out in the West are upset that the Catholic schools and non-boundary schools, as they call them, meaning charter schools, have been winning an inordinate amount of championships. And in doing so, they have pressed for, and we have mentioned this before, they have pressed for separate championships between the boundary schools or the public schools, but that would include charter schools and also the Catholic schools. So the Catholic schools and the charter schools would have their own playoffs, and the public schools would have their own playoffs. This is going against the PIAA bylaws, and it also has gone against state law because the state approved the Catholic schools being included in the PIAA back in 1972. And it's been simmering at the state level, and there's been talk about it. And in fact, Representative Conklin proposed a bill that is actively going nowhere. It has not gotten any supporters that would have made separate championships. Others are seeing it as maybe a possibility to further school choice, saying, okay, we'll give you the separate champions, but we want some more money toward Catholic schools. So right now it's in a holding pattern, though, and I think the way this happened during the championship week is gonna let it simmer for a little bit longer and not create any impetus for it to be moved anywhere anytime soon. And right now the Catholic Conference and Catholic schools and the PIAA are all for keeping it status quo. And they're just, like I said, there's a small contingent of people, most of them out west, who want a four separate championships so they can get their trophies. One more thing I want to mention, too, as I went out to these games, I wanted to include as much as I could some shots of the students. And we had some real good student sections out there. I got really jazzed up by Bonner Prendergast. They came on, it was Thursday night, and they came all the way from Philly. And they were loud the whole game. And they were pretty good size contingent. But as big as they were and as loud as they were, I have to say that the Bishop Guilfoyle crowd was even bigger and louder. They were into it. They came in battle fatigues and camouflage on, when was that? It was Friday afternoon. And they lost a tough game. They played the MCS, one of the charter schools out of Philly, Math, Civics, and Sciences, who was a good team. And Bishop Guilfoyle was at a height disadvantage, but they played very well, and the crowd was in it. It came right down to the last second where Bishop Guilfoyle had, I think it was 4 seconds to get the ball the length of the court and get a shot off. They didn't get a shot off. They lost, but they had a great year, and the students, they should be very proud, too. Looks like they enjoyed themselves very much. They supported their team, and it was good fun. I enjoyed watching them, and I was just happy to be there. And as much as I enjoyed the game, I enjoyed the student section just as much. All right, we'll be back with the second half of Catholic Legislative Talk right after this.
This is Holy Family Radio Manager Dan Steele. I want to thank you for listening to Holy Family Radio podcasts and broadcasts, whether it's over the air at 720 on your AM dial or online streaming at 720whyf.com. We appreciate your involvement in Central Pennsylvania's only Catholic radio station. But I must share with you, if we are to keep our ministry growing in the Harrisburg Diocese, we really need your help. We are a totally listener-supported nonprofit 501c3, and I'm asking you to prayerfully consider donating any amount you can to help us continue our work in spreading God's Word. Please go to our website at 720whyf.com. Click on the donate button and follow the instructions. And thank you for helping to keep us on the air, and may God bless you.
Holy Family Radio would like you to know we very much appreciate you listening. We're here for you all day, every day. Listen online at 720whyf.com and sunrise to sunset at 720 on your AM radio dial. Don't be a stranger. We'd like to know your thoughts and how we're doing. You can reach out to us by email. Our address is contact@720whyf.com. That's contact@720whyf.com.
Coming to you once again from the PCC Studios on the third floor of our facility. Basically, it's a conference room, but it's quiet up here, so it's a studio. We're on State Street, just down from the Capitol. Stop by and say hi, but let us know you're a friend first. We'll let you in. All right, we talked about the pro-life effort that is going on in Harrisburg in our first segment with the Down syndrome abortion bill and the heartbeat bill. Well, another issue that we've been dealing with at the PCC has been with our statewide adoption and permanency network, heretofore known as SWAN for our story purposes, and well, that's how it's commonly referred to. Several of our dioceses have run adoption networks over the years according to our Catholic beliefs. Now, I read here from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops website on adoptions. It says, Catholic Charities agencies around the country have long provided adoption and foster care services to the neediest children. Catholic Charities takes on the most difficult placements, including older, abused children, and children with special needs. When placing children with couples, Catholic Charities ensures those children enjoy the advantage of having a mother and a father who are married. My words here. Now, why do these agencies have that last sentence as a restriction? To ensure these children enjoy the advantage of having a mother and a father who are married. Is it because they want to be exclusionary? Is it because they want to be accused of being hateful? No, it's because there's a firm belief that that is the best way to raise a child. But, and that had been good for a number of years, but of course nowadays that is not good enough. In 2006, okay, the website continues, Catholic Charities of Boston, which has been one of the nation's, had been one of the nation's oldest adoption agencies, faced a difficult choice to violate its conscience or close its doors. To be licensed by the state, Catholic Charities of Boston would have to obey state laws barring sexual orientation discrimination. And Massachusetts, very liberal. For all I know, they're okay with two otters raising a child. Very liberal, Massachusetts. Because marriage had been redefined in Massachusetts, Catholic Charities could not limit its placement to married couples. Catholic leaders asked the state for a religious exemption, but were refused. No shock there. Once again, Mass, extremely liberal. Catholic Charities of Boston was forced to shut down its adoption services. There goes an important service. And people who work it lose their jobs. All right, later that year, Catholic Charities in San Francisco faced a similar untenable choice and was forced to end its adoption services as well. In Washington, D.C., Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Washington, which has provided support to children and families for over 80 years, had a partnership with the District of Columbia to its foster care and public adoption program. However, after 80 years, in 2010, a law requiring or redefining legal marriage to include the two people of the same sex took effect. The district then informed Catholic Charities it would no longer be an eligible foster care and adoption partner. Why? Because as a Catholic organization, Catholic Charities was committed to placing children once again with married couples so that each child would have the experience of a mom and a dad. Once again, not being hateful, not being exclusionary, that's the belief that that's the best way to raise a child. It is a belief. And yes, this has surfaced in Pennsylvania as well. Federal judge last year ruled against, ruled against a religious organization that refused to place foster children with gay families on religious grounds. Now, these were foster children in Philadelphia. Judge Patrice B. Tucker of the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Pennsylvania ruled the city of Philly can require the foster and adoption agencies with which it contracts to abide by the city's non-discrimination policies. The decision marks the first time a federal court has ruled, this is an article from the Time, that such agencies may not turn away same-sex couples who don't meet the agency's religious criteria. All right, on the state level, the Department of Human Services also began enforcing this requirement that adoption agencies work with same-sex parents. The Pennsylvania Catholic Conference, hey, that's us. They appealed. We appealed on behalf of the state's adoption agencies. Then in November, we got the response the DHS denied that motion. In the meantime, we have appealed to Washington to get a federal religious exemption to this unfair requirement of Catholic adoption agencies. All right, you may be saying out there, and somebody people have said same-sex couples should be able to adopt as well. What are you guys doing? You guys are being unfair. You're denying these people the chance to be parents. No. There are other adoption agencies out there which place children with same-sex parents. They have an avenue. But it's like the same-sex couple that wants a birthday cake. And they ignore, or I'm sorry, a wedding cake. They have a wedding cake. And they ignore the 300 bakers in the area that would gladly bake their cake. And instead, they focus on the one that they think has a problem with it. It's not about the stinking cake. It's about proving a point. That's why they got to find that one guy that has a problem with it. Okay, this isn't about the opportunity for adoptions. This is about proving a point and placing the beliefs of some over the beliefs of others. In places like Philly and PA and those other cities I mentioned, I hate to use the term leftists, but it's the leftists and people with the more liberal viewpoints. The leftists run the show. Their beliefs take precedence over the beliefs of those of us on the right. Okay, anyway, so what about those efforts on the federal level to rectify this problem as far as we go? Well, we've been talking with a congressman out of Pittsburgh area, serves in Washington, Congressman Mike Kelly. This guy has been great. His staff has been great. He is a ranking member of the House Ways and Means Subcommittee on Oversight. And he issued the following statement. This was a couple months ago, but this summarizes his beliefs and is very applicable to our situation here. Anyway, he issued the following statement in praise of the decision by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS. Now, remember we talked about the Department of Human Services, that was on the state level. This is the HHS, and this is where we're hoping that we get some relief on the SWAN stuff. He was commenting on HHS granting a request by the state of South Carolina to protect the religious liberty of its faith-based foster care providers. Here's a statement by Kelly. I applaud the Trump administration's decision to grant South Carolina's request to protect the religious liberty of its faith-based foster care providers. However, he says, there is still an urgent need to fully protect all faith-based adoption and foster care agencies in every corner of our country from unfair discrimination by states and localities. In Pennsylvania, the congressman says, faith-based agencies are currently being told to change their sincerely held religious beliefs or shut down. I thank the administration for taking this important first step to protect the tremendous work done by faith-based, that's not easy to say fast, faith-based agencies. This is about putting children first. So we have Congressman Kelly in our corner, and apparently we also have new Congressman Guy Reschenthaler, who was served in Harrisburg the last term. He is also working on our behalf. But in the meantime, the damage has already been done. The adoption agencies around Pennsylvania, the foster care providers, have to wait to see what happens. And these poor people that work there, a lot of them have already started looking for other jobs. There hasn't been as much work. So there's already been damage done, not only to the services they provide of placing these children, that's one less adoption care provider, one less foster care provider, and a lot of good people out of work. All, like I said, because some people place their beliefs over the beliefs of others. If the shoe was on the other foot, it's not like they're forcing people who would adopt to same-sex parents, they're not forcing them to not do that. But when it's liberals in control, they're trying to force faith-based foster care providers to change their long-held beliefs. All right, let's switch gears a little bit. We got a couple minutes left of the show. Some other activity in Harrisburg this week. There was some discussion today I saw, and it's actually a little controversial, on the Wolf administration trying to change, put new election machines in place for the 2020 presidential election. And the administration says this is because the 2020 presidential election is going to be an important one, a big one. This is Wolf's people saying this. Well, there's some representatives on the Republican side. In fact, Representative Gordner, who took exception to this and asked Wolf's people in a hearing today, well, what about the election coming up next year in 1919? Is that not going to be important? Are we not concerned about that? And the person said, yeah. But his point was, why are we suddenly concerned so much about the 2020 election and being president? And who's going to be president? Are the Democrats who are in control now, Governor Wolf, are they looking at something and saying that the last election was unfair? And some of the representatives also rightly complained that this is not going to be able to be done in time. It's going to force a lot of municipalities, rural municipalities, to pay for machines they probably could not afford. All right, another issue that is still being talked about, there was a rally a couple days ago in the state capitol in the rotunda from TMI Alert, which is run by my good friend Eric Epstein. He is standing up against a state bailout of Three Mile Island, which is hurting, and they're losing money. And there is consideration underway to try to put some state money in there to rescue that and prop them up, even though they are losing money. A lot of people are against that. The legislators who I've talked to, they're in a predicament. They don't, right now, they're between a rock and a hard place. They know that people want this to, people who work there and who live around there want it to stay open. But there's also the taxpayers who don't want to pay for something that is not doing the job it is supposed to do. So stay tuned on that. That's not necessarily a Catholic issue, but it is going to be a big issue that you might hear about. Trying to think of any other thing pertinent. Now, a lot of committee meetings up there in Harrisburg, a lot of these committee meetings very dry. Not a lot going on. Not always the juiciest of votes, but it's part of our democracy. We will keep our finger on the pulse for you. All right, that does it for another week of Catholic Legislative Talk. Hope you have a great week. Please join us next week and we'll see what happens. And hey, have a good Lent. Let's keep looking forward to Easter and continue nicer weather. All right, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Catholic Legislative Talk with Al Ganoza, a service of the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference and Holy Family Radio.